bedroom is a box of projector. Is it a box projector?
I'm not using it. No.
Yeah. चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी की जय। गंगमयी जमुनमयी की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय। कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबली बॉडी। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबली बॉडी। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबली बॉडी। ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरा। Only one session.
One more in the evening.
For me?
No, I think we'll go.
Yeah, go on. Yeah. Just one more session. Yeah. After this, go on.
Yes.
Just have to call in. Yeah.
Hey, you can move to the fire.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Wow, I thought everyone had a good prashad and can get a very better response. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very good. Thank you very much. Before we start our next session, let us very enthusiastically welcome His Grace Govind Prabhu with a loud
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! It's actually our yearly event and we kind of look forward, so thank you Govind Prabhu for coming and joining us. Just quick things what we are going to do. This session is going to go till 5 o'clock. So, and then 5 to 6 we'll have a break. We'll have light refreshment during that break. And we also need some help in the kitchen that time to make some puri, so it's a Mataji's announcement. That would be very great help. That's between 5 to 6 p.m. And our next session will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Again, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu in India. And after 8 o'clock, depending upon your enthusiasm, we'll have a kirtan and a very nice prasadam. Also, it looks like this morning's session was very effective. Many devotees after prasad, they were so much eager to serve, they all went downstairs, cut bhoga for the uni prasadam, they cleaned the kitchen and all the pots. So let's thank God with the Lord.
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Also, just one more announcement, if anyone would like to contribute any amount towards the today's feast, the lunch or dinner prasadam, so you can come and see me after the class. Thank you very much. Hari Bol!
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकः चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे श्रीचैतन्यमनोदिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणा ललिता श्रीशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णभ्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशिता वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। It's very challenging to speak after the lunch session. Yesterday, our Devakinandan Prabhu's brother-in-law was telling a story. He said, there was a rickshawala and the priest. When they left their bodies, rickshawala was sent to heavenly planets and the priest was sent to hellish planet. So they ask this question, why? And the representative of the heavenly planet, they told, because the rickshaw are in Bombay. If you come to Bombay and you sit on the rickshaw, or if you go to Bengal, driving the ambassador car, certainly you intensify your chanting Hare Krishna. So they told, because this rickshaw drives so recklessly, everybody naturally chants. And when the priest starts speaking, everybody goes to sleep. So he made everyone go to sleep, therefore he's on the other side. Like one time, you know, Radhanath Swami was telling, the best mantra for a devotee is to go to sleep, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And to wake them up, Mahaprasade Govinde. So it's a great challenge. Of course, we had a fantastic experience last year. We tortured all of you by making you sit for 7-8 hours. We are amazed to see how devotees are responding. So this is for outsiders, not for the devotees. If you go to sleep, it is not your problem, it is my problem. So this topic is the topic of how to overcoming the evil of good. I chose this topic, how to overcome the evil of good. When someone is good, in fact, the scriptures explain that one who is sinful, and if he knows he is sinful, he regrets for his sinful activity. If one does not know that he is sinful, and he makes his life a sinful culture, he lives that life. His life goes on. But once we are made aware that we are sinful, and we are convinced that I am sinful, then we regret, oh, I did this kind of, I lived this kind of lifestyle. But sometime when we don't have any background of contamination and we live a life of purity, which is rare in Kali Yuga, of course, but there are still people who think that very honest, very straight, very transparent, they don't have any sinful activities. And therefore they don't feel any necessity of taking shelter. He said, why? He said, why should I bow down to anyone when there is nothing to take shelter of? So they consider that coming to God, coming to Krishna, is only required when you have the stock of bad contamination, baggage of sinful activities. Therefore, to overcome that guilt, they need to take shelter. But someone who has not done like that, there is no need. But they fail to understand. It is explained in one nice poem by Vaishnava saint. He gives a brilliant example. He says that for a young girl to be virgin is a great quality. But to remain virgin for rest of her life is not a big deal. She has to offer her virginity in the sacrifice of married life. So similarly, whether one is pure or impure, one has to offer that in the sacrifice of service to the Supreme Personality of God. So this understanding is very important. And especially when we become devotee, we see how interestingly Prabhupada dealt with his devotees. Whenever someone criticized his disciples, especially his Western disciples, he was like a warrior. He would always defend them. He would always defend. You know, someone said, oh, your devotees always sleep. You know, they don't know how to pronounce properly. Their pronunciation is not proper. He would say, but their renunciation is proper. Every time he would defend. But the outside world, whenever somebody would say, they asked him, how many devotees are there? He said, as many number of devotees were there in ISKCON, he called all of them devotees. And he said, they're all fit to go back to Vaikuntha. But within his own group, whenever there was need to rectify the mistakes of his devotees, you know, not out of envy, anger, sometime he would call, Krishna only sent me 10th class. So how do you reconcile this? With outsiders, he's saying, they are fit to go to Vaikuntha planet, they are already liberated, and inside sometime he would very heavily chastise. One time he told Shruti Kirti Prabhu, he said, you will not change till you are 80 years old. You will remain like this. So he was very happy, at least at the age of 80 I will change. So we see, when Krishna or the Shastras present the process of bhakti, they glorify anyone who takes to the path of Krishna consciousness. Api cheta sudaracharo. Krishna very boldly tells Arjuna, you declare boldly that my devotee will never perish. That even a devotee, in the Vishnu Sahasranam, there is a verse which says that Krishna, he closes his eyes when he sees his devotees are making mistakes. He doesn't like to see the faults of his devotee. And his eyes are big, like the eyes of Lord Jagannath. Why does he open his eyes? So it is explained that he opens his eyes and he makes his eyes almost like a magnifying glass, so that he can see the little service of his devotee as if it is very big. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. That the guru means heavy sinful activities, are eradicated. But the lagu, the seva, insignificant seva is taken as very big. That gives us great confidence to practice devotional service. But at the same time, Krishna, we read in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, the 20 qualities of devotees. When we study those qualities in the Bhagavad Gita, then we realize where we stand. Far away from those qualities. When there is a self-analysis, when you have to, you know, understand yourself, examine yourself, then you cannot talk about what Krishna told to the outside world, like Prabhupada did. They couldn't tell Prabhupada, Prabhupada, just now you told to the reporter that we are already liberated, now you are calling us Shudras and 4th class or 10th class. How are you contradicting? No. The foundation of they being devotee is there. But what kind of devotee? Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote that book. What kind of Vaishnava are you? So therefore, yesterday we were discussing that there is a quote in the Niti. It says that people fight, they argue, they have difference of opinion. But among all kind of people, the Brahmanas fight the most. And amongst the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas are the best. In regards to conflict, difference of opinion. And what is the reason for conflict? Now if there is a conflict between evil and good, that's very clear. It's black and white. Oh, he is following sinful activity and is not following sinful activity. They're very black and white. You can't have to make some, you know, analysis. It is very clear. Like Hiranyakashipu was the personification of, you know, atheism, and Prahlad was personification of theism. Prahlad could see Krishna everywhere and Hiranyakashipu could not see Krishna anywhere. Even though when Hiranyakashipu saw Lord Narasingdev appear, you know, he got to see Lord Narasingdev in his transcendental form. But he said, what kind of beast is this? Similarly, Duryodhan, just imagine, Duryodhan was so fortunate. Krishna came to Hastinapur as a peacemaker. Direct Bhagavatam class from Krishna for Duryodhan. He was so fortunate. And not only alone, if you read the description of Krishna coming to Hastinapur and hearing the news that Krishna is coming to Hastinapur, the entire host of sages, they are traveling from all the directions. They wanted to hear Krishna speak. You are surrounded in the assembly, you know, of great souls who are willing to hear the words of Krishna. And when Krishna starts speaking, the words of Krishna were not only full of wisdom, but the voice itself was like a rumbling of the cloud. But it didn't matter to Duryodhan. Very clear, Duryodhan was the personification of Kali. And exactly opposite of that, Yudhishthira Maharaj was personification of Dharma. There is no confusion. Of course, nowadays people are creating confusion. They say Duryodhan is better than Yudhishthir Maharaj. There are many people in India. In India, there was a TV serial. Ravan ki shakti dekhi parantu bhakti nahi dekhi. That you didn't see Ravan's devotion. He was so devotional. Actually, there is one state in south, Kolar district, which is known, used to be known for gold mine. And there is actually a big temple of Ravan. People worship Ravan there. Now Kali Yuga, you know, even amongst good and bad people conflict. There is a conflict. But for a Vaishnava, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we were discussing, from being stupid, we are made into very intelligent people. And because we are made very intelligent, our perception of many things is based upon Shastra only. But then still, even though we read Shastra, I perceive what I read from a different point of view than somebody else reads. Jayadeva Maharaj, in his editorial, in the introduction of the folio, he writes, you know, you got all the information, whatever Prabhupada ever said, you click whatever you want, you get everything. And two people who are loyal to him, they will take one subject and they'll have exactly opposite view based upon their research of Srila Prabhupada's books only. That is possible, and that's what is happening also. So therefore, when there is a conflict between two aspects of dharma, that conflict is much more intense than the conflict of dharma and adharma. And we see in the Shastra also. Offenses, one can commit offense against the Vaishnavas because one is mean, one is envious, like Daksha Prajapati was envious of Lord Shiva. Just because, you know, he didn't stand Shiva. Shiva did not respect according to Daksha Prajapati. So Daksha Prajapati went almost bonkers. He was crazy. He was blasting Shiva. And ultimately he lost his head. That was a straight Vaishnava Prad. He was Bhakta, but his devotional service was in the mode of ignorance. There is a conflict between Prithu Maharaj and Indra. Because Indra was passionate, he had performed 100 yajna, and Prithu Maharaj was about to complete 100. He just did 99, and he was about to do 100, and Indra couldn't handle it. He said, how can you do it? So there was a competition between two. So both were bhaktas, but there was a competition between two. So therefore, we see when there is a conflict, like in the Ramayana, brilliant example. Now Sita wanted the golden deer. And you know, Ram was willing to bring golden deer for Sita. And one Vaishnava says, Lakshman, this is not in the Ramayana, but in the commentary of Ramayana. Lakshman asked Ram, he said, hey Ram, he said, in your creation, have you ever seen golden deer? There is no such thing as golden deer. So therefore, don't chase this golden deer. I know it is not golden deer, but this is the making of the demons. They want to take revenge against you because you killed 14,000 Rakshasas. Ram said, come on. He said, even if it is not golden deer, first time in 14 years Sita is asking something. So it is my responsibility to bring golden deer for her. But he said, if it is not golden deer, it doesn't matter. If it is not golden deer, I get to kill the demon. If it is the golden deer, I can bring it to Mother Sita. So Ram went to the forest. And then he told, you take care of Sita. When he went to the forest, of course there was Ravan and Marich that organized. And Ram chased Marich and eventually shot. When he shot the arrow, it hit Marich. Just see how Marich was conscious. He said, I want to be killed by Ram, but he never stopped serving Ravan. When Ram shot, what did Marich do? As it was planned, he chanted consciously, Hey Sita, Hey Lakshman, Hey Sita, Hey Lakshman. Repeatedly chanted like that. He didn't chant the names of Ram. So when Sita heard that, you know, and Varish chanted as if it was the voice of Ram. Now Sita and Lakshman both love Ram. Therefore they came to the forest. Both were told by Ram, no need to come. Ram had told Sita, you stay. He had told Lakshman, you stay here, I'll go alone. But both wanted to serve Ram, and both served for 13 years. This was the last year. When the arrow was shot, the voice was heard. How did Sita respond and how did Lakshman respond? Both of the responses are different. Sita is goddess of fortune and Lakshman is the original guru, and there is a conflict between two. Now, for us to learn the lesson, there's a pastime, no doubt, but every scripture teaches some lessons for all of us. Shastra, there are three concepts, three things. One, it is full of entertainment. Second, it is full of enlightenment. And third, there is a lesson for us to execute in our day-to-day life. So that's all. So when they heard, Sita told, I think Ram is in danger. My dear Lakshman, please go and see. Something must have happened to Ram. Go and look for Ram. So what did Lakshman say? Lakshman said, my dear mother, he said, the entire host of demigods, Gandharvas, Charanas, Kinnaras, all of them put together cannot do any harm to Ram. He said, why are you worrying? Have you not seen just recently, within 40 minutes, in one muhurta, Lord Ram killed all the demons, including Kar and Dushan? He said, nothing will happen to you. Now, what is this? Sita is exhibiting the quality of concern. The quality of concern is a great quality for a devotee. That shows the sensitivity. And Lakshman is showing the quality of confidence. Unless we have confidence in Krishna, we never make advancement. So both are exhibiting the quality of different aspect of dharma. One is showing the quality of concern and one is showing the quality of confidence. It is not about Lakshman is right or Sita is wrong. It is not about Sita is right and Lakshman is wrong. It is seeing the entire event with a different perception. And that led to conflict. Lakshman said, nothing will happen. Sita said, I think your whole purpose of coming here is wrong. See, it didn't stop there. The concern led to suspicion in the character of Lakshman. And what she said, not only she said, you're coming here is a different purpose. I think you come here hoping that Ram will be killed, then you can enjoy me, and that will never happen. She gave a conclusion also. And Lakshman closed his ears. He said, the experiences that Lakshman had served both of them for 13 years without sleeping. He never slept even for a moment. Therefore, Lakshman's eyes were considered like a always blooming lotus flower. They never closed because the son of Ram was always there in presence of Lakshman. Therefore, he would never close his eyes. He was serving. And this was the accusation made by Sita. So there is a kind of a difference of opinion. And eventually Lakshman thought, when I need to go now, because she is condemning, she is accusing like this. She chased Lakshman away simply by her strong words. Now, was Sita actually believed like that? That Lakshman was like that? It was a circumstantial accusation. It was not that preconceived, she always found Lakshman to be suspicious. Never. But suddenly, because of concern towards Ram, it led to this kind of behavior, and Lakshman had to leave from there looking for Ram, which he knew that once I go to look for Ram, what will happen? Sita will be kidnapped. But he had no choice. So his confidence did not prevail, but rather Sita's concern prevailed, and all the trouble took place. Srila Prabhupada explains that why devotees fall down. He gives the three reasons. One is the negligence of one sadhana. When we don't practice our spiritual life systematically, you know, just because of the negligence, slowly our taste for chanting Hare Krishna, reading the Shastras, associating with devotees becomes very weak. And second reason he gives, Vaishnava Aparadha. Chaitanya Bhagavata explains, Even someone like Lord Shiva offends other devotee, then he comes down to this material world. He has to fall down. And third reason says Krishna's will. We don't get to know. He did not offend Vaishnavas. He didn't break any regulative principle. He was extremely strict in his sadhana. But he came down, just like Jai Vijay. Now you can't offend in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world there is no outside, inside. Everything is inside. The material world is outside. So there is no need for gate in the spiritual world. You don't need a guard in the spiritual world. Jai Vijay are not guarding because there is a danger from outside. They are guarding because it is a rasa. It adds flavor. In the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, it is explained, the Lakshmi in the spiritual world, they are continuously brooming, even though there is no dust. So brooming in the spiritual world is not because there is a dust. You broom because it adds flavor. So there is no question of Jai Vijay committing offenses. But it was Krishna's will that to come down. And Krishna's will is known through the Srimad Bhagavatam because Krishna wanted to enjoy the spirit of the rasa of, you know, the virya rasa. Somebody asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how do I know whether my fall down is accidental or incidental? Prabhupada said, you will not come to know. I will come to know. You will not come to know. But there is a fourth offense which is not described, but you can read in the Shastra. What is this offense? Offense caused by intense love for God. Offense caused by confidence in Krishna. Offense caused by that full trust, you know, Krishna will take care of me. Offense caused by desire to serve Krishna. How this is possible in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when Lord Chaitanya's brother, Vishwarup, took sannyas. And how did he take sannyas? Because he was always associating with Advaita Acharya. And because of the association, that's how Sachi Mata perceived. Even though with Advaita Acharya they were Srivas Thakur, he didn't take sannyas. Gadadhar Pandit was there, he didn't take sannyas. There were many associating with Advaita Acharya. They did not take sannyas, but some of the Vishwarup associated and he took sannyas, and Sachi Mata felt, when she felt it, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started going, when Nimai started going to Advaita Acharya, she became very panicky. I already lost one of my son because my son was associating with Advaita Acharya. And now if Nimai goes there, he will also go along with his brother. This Advaita Acharya is not Advaita. Advaita means what? One who doesn't have second opinion. We are not talking about Advaita philosophy. Advaita means there is no second opinion. There is no split personality. Only one. But it doesn't sound to be Advaita, is Dvaitva. You know, he's duplicitous. She just out of concern, out of affection for Nimai, she spoke. And according to Lord Chaitanya, that became an offense. He thought that she was offended Advaita Acharya. And then she had to actually beg forgiveness. It is not simply a very, you know, sweet story, but it is a reality also. Therefore, here, Mother Sita accused Lakshman of offending, of having an ill interest. And the Acharyas explain, now as I said, Sita is goddess of fortune. There is no question of she offending. But in the pastime, when you are involved, you have to act. Bhagavatam explains Ram came to perform, to show the human behavior. So that offense took place out of concern only. That offense was not that, you know, it was orchestrated against Lakshman. It happened because of love for Ram. And then Sita was protected. And why did Ram ask Sita to go through the fire test? She was right in public. When you meet someone, your most intimate friend or your wife or a husband, you don't meet them in public, not an official meeting. So Sita was made by Ram to meet in a very official place, in a public place. And when she came, how did Ram respond? If you read Ramayana, you feel, my God, this is too much. How can you do like this? There are many scholars, very nice people in India, they say, we can handle Krishna, but we can't stand Ram. How can you do like this? You know, totally insensitive to the needs of his wife. She's coming there. He said, look, Sita, whatever happened with you, you know, it is not that I wanted you, therefore I went and fought. I only did this to protect the valor of Raghu dynasty. I am interested in my family. I proved the greatness of my family. Now you go wherever you want to go. You want to go back to Lanka? Go back to Lanka to Vibhishan. You want to go back to your father? Go back. But you cannot come to me because, you know, you have been in the lap of somebody else. And when he spoke, he was stern. He apparently appeared to be very cruel. And everybody was crying. Lakshman was trembling. But he was not Balram, so he couldn't say anything. He had to tolerate. So they said, one may say, this is very cruel on the part of Ram. This is not cruelty. No. It's the original principle of first come first. First he protected Sita, and after that, because of her offense to Lakshman, she had to go through this ordeal. She had to go through this ordeal. And why did Lakshman get condemned by Sita? Because he had offended Bharat. And Bharat came to Chitrakut, and Ram and Lakshman climbed the salt tree. And when he saw the flag of the Raghu dynasty, he became so angry. He said, today, my dear Lord, Ram, he said, today, the entire Raghu dynasty will be destroyed. The land of Chitrakut will drink the blood of Raghu dynasty. Ram said, what happened? Who is coming? He said, this Bharat is coming, and his intention doesn't seem to be right. He is coming to attack you. He is not happy with having the kingdom. Now he wants to kill you. Ram said, but where did you hear that? How did you conclude that he has come to kill? So, Lakshman, out of for what? Out of pure love for Ram, with the intention of protecting Ram, he actually misjudged another devotee. Just see how subtle the concept of bhakti is. Therefore, we see in devotional service, especially amongst devotees, especially when we are dealing in management, when we have to deal with matter. One devotee may choose, okay, we want to put red color to this wall. Now, there is no shastra that you have to put red color. And there is no shastra that you don't need to put red color. But somebody else may give a lot of opinion, no, red color is not good, and therefore they'll fight. Based on what color? It happens. Even for a small thing, it leads to conflict. And Kali Yuga, the greatest trouble, Kalair Dosho Nidhirajan, it's ocean of fault, but the greatest two faults are conflict and hypocrisy. All other faults can be tolerated. But this fault, if we can overcome these two faults, then we become very, you know, we become object of Krishna's mercy. Relationship based upon our ability to understand the Shastra from different perspective and see things from a different perspective and how that leads to conflict. In the Mahabharata also, there is another story, very interesting story. Now, what was the greatest danger Pandavas experienced? Was it the trouble of Draupadi being disrobed? Was it the gambling match? Was it when they were burnt in the house of lack? Was it the first 14 years in the forest? Or was it the Kurukshetra battle itself? You know, these things, yes, they went through all this, but all these things made them take shelter of Krishna in a united way. All of them would come together and take shelter of Krishna. But there was a danger, the greatest danger happened when there was a fight between Yudhishthira and Arjun. Now you can imagine Yudhishthira and Arjun fighting. You can imagine Yudhishthira and Bhim fighting. But Yudhishthira and Arjun fighting, you can't imagine. Because both were extremely humble, extremely gentle. As they explained, the way they would talk to people, you know, they were extremely cultured. Sometime Bhima would get angry and they would fight. A very interesting fact, in the Mahabharata, you never find the Kauravas fighting with each other. 100 brothers never had an argument. Everybody was low class. That was their ideal standard.
So therefore, whatever Duryodhan decided, they were all united. Only once there was an argument, Vikarna objected disrobing of Draupadi, but nobody shot him back, neither Dushyasan nor Duryodhan. Who shot him down was Karna. So you never see, nowhere in the Mahabharata. I was quite surprised. I went through the entire 100,000 verses, you know, took many years to read, but you don't find even once they were fighting. And interestingly, the Pandavas had many arguments, many arguments. So another principle is that when you have a low ideal, sense gratification is the goal of life, meanness is the goal of life, then there is no argument about it. Everybody agrees. Everybody is one party. We see the flies collectively, hundreds of flies, they go to a refuge and they're sucking the juice out of it. They don't fight. They're so united. Have you ever seen one fly biting another fly? No. Very interesting. So therefore, unity without Krishna in the center is no big deal. One can be united for a wrong reason, and just because they're united, if you glorify that unity, it is not a big deal. We are not talking here about how devotees should be united without having any opinion. It will never work. Only in Brahma Jyoti there is no second opinion, because everybody merged in nothingness. There is no action only. So wherever there is no action, there is no conflict. But that is not our goal. The conflict is possibility, conflict is unavoidable, but within that conflict, if one can unite, keeping Krishna in the center, that is great. And the Pandavas are the best example. Now Yudhishthira Maharaj is extremely non-violent. He is the original Mahatma Gandhi. And Bhima is extremely violent. He said, come on, now we'll kill them all. Every moment he would look for destroying the Kurus. And all of them, they were different personalities. Yudhishthira Maharaj was one. Bhima had another personality, Arjuna had some other traits, Nakul Sahadeva had some other trait, and Draupadi was totally different from all of the five. So therefore it was but natural, sometime there was a difference of opinion. When Yudhishthira Maharaj lost everything in the gambling match, including his wife, and Bhima became so angry, he said, my dear Arjun, get me burning coal, I'll burn the hands of our brother for playing gambling match. He says that, but he never did. That's very interesting. He just bursted out, you know, he expressed his emotion, but he never did it. But greater danger happened. Very interesting that Arjuna was concerned, again, caring for his brother. One day when the battle was going on and Karna was defeating everybody, and Arjuna did not see the flag of his brother Yudhishthir. It was not there. He asked Krishna, where is my brother? I don't see him. They approached Bhima. He said, did you see Yudhishthir? He said, no, I don't know where he is. So Arjuna said, why don't you go to the camp and look for our brother? If he's still alive or not, we should go and look for his welfare. Bhima said, I don't go in the middle of the warfare. If I go out of this warfare, people will consider me to be a coward. He said, I'm going to be here only. If you want to go, you go. So Arjuna was willing to, you know, get bad name from the other warriors because he was so concerned about his brother. He told Krishna, Krishna, take my chariot to the place where Yudhishthira Maharaj is staying. So why did Arjuna come? Risking his good name, because he was so much affectionate to his brother, he left the battlefield. Krishna drove his chariot. He came to the camp, and Yudhishthira Maharaj saw Yudhishthira Maharaj lying, you know, wounded very badly. Not wounded by the arrows, but wounded by the words. Karna was best at being nasty through his language. If you study, he was very insulting. So that was very painful to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So when he saw Arjun, just see what confidence Yudhishthira Maharaj had. Yudhishthira Maharaj thought Arjuna has come to give the good news of death of Karna. He said, very good, Arjuna, you come here, I am so happy. How did you kill Karna? And Arjuna said, no, I didn't kill Karna, but I was very much worried what happened to you. I didn't see you on the battlefield, therefore I came looking for you. Now this triggered off. The expectations of Yudhishthira Maharaj were unfulfilled. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, my mother should have aborted you when you were 5 months in her womb. He says like that. He said, she should have aborted you when you were 5 months in the womb. Now how could Arjuna, now he's a Kshatriya. You never find Arjuna, Yudhishthira Maharaj would ever say that. You can imagine how much he must have been paid. And then he said, hell with your Gandiva bow. Throw that Gandiva bow to some place. Hell with your chariot. You know? Hell with your flag which has been abandoned by Hanumanji. What is the point you have Krishna with you and still you did not get to kill Karna? He said, you are useless. When Arjuna heard that, you know, why did Yudhishthira Maharaj say this? Arjuna didn't know, but he heard the words. They were as clear. There was no, you know, network confusion. Very clear sound. When Arjuna heard that, he raised his sword. He removed his sword and he went to remove the head of Yudhishthira Maharaj. That was the greatest danger they experienced in their life. And Krishna was there, right in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes you fight in front of the deities only. So this is not first time. You know, there is a precedent. Great acharyas have done. So right in the presence of Krishna, at least sometimes we feel, you know, Krishna is deity, is different. You know, here, Krishna is there. Krishna drove the chariot of Arjuna and Arjuna raised his sword and is about to kill Yudhishthira Maharaj. Krishna said, what's happening here? He said, this is my vow. He said, anyone who says anything about my Gandiva bow is a secret vow. Anybody inserts my Gandiva bow, I can't handle insult to me. But if anybody says anything to Gandiva, I have taken a secret vow that I will kill. So Krishna said, "Acha, you want to kill your brother. And because you have taken a vow, now for a Kshatriya, he can do anything but not break his vow. He said, I have to kill my brother. And then Krishna spoke the philosophy to Arjuna. You know, that how a truthful or an aspect of dharma, when you practice, when you execute, you can't call it dharma based upon your execution, but the effect of the execution. And that requires great wisdom and maturity. We judge based upon our action, not based upon the effect, because the effect is not under our control. He said, Krishna says that if you do like this, if you kill your brother, how will you live? He said, whatever it is my vow, I am going to kill him. And Krishna told him two stories. The story of Kaushik Brahmana. He said, how Kaushik Brahmana, by telling the truth, he went to hell. And there was a hunter, Balaka. He went to heavens by hunting animals. Arjuna said, how is it possible? Krishna elaborated the story. He said, about the effect again. He spoke the truth. And the truth was so precise that it made many pilgrims get killed by the robbers. And therefore he went to hellish planet. Therefore we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is so dynamic in presenting the Gita. Krishna is so dynamic in presenting the concept of Shastra. It is based upon the effect of the Shastra. It is not about the cause. Which Arjuna, even though he had heard Bhagavad Gita already, right, he had already heard the Bhagavad Gita, and still he was not able to execute. Then he told Krishna, then what about my vows? Just see how much he was attached about his vows. Another principle is that when we are so attached to our vows individually, we don't see what is the collective effect to the society. We are so bound, I want to follow this vow. And if you study, I don't know if I should say this, you know, Mahatma Gandhiji, great personality, but he was so you know, strongly rooted in non-violence, which is great, in dharma principle. But that non-violence principle, even though it was causing violence to the larger society, he couldn't reconcile it. So therefore, someone who is very strong, consistent in practicing vows, when they are met with such conflicting situation, to compromise with their vows is very difficult for them. Arjuna said, whatever it is, I need to do something. And then again Krishna said, my dear Arjuna, there are many ways to reconcile. You want to fulfill your vows? He said, this is not the only way. You want to kill your brother? You have the right to kill him. You have the right to fulfill your vows, but there are many other ways also. Shastras are very dynamic. You know, if you can't do like this, you do like this. No? Like one principle in the scripture, in sanskaras, that when somebody gets killed and you don't find his body, it happens in Himalayas, when you are going in the Himalayas, the bus, you should be ready for liberation, you know, before you get to see the darshan of Lord Badrinath also. I remember one devotee many years back, he was my, you know, we used to stay in the same place, he was our head pujari. And he had some conflict in the temple, very righteous, absolutely very clean, very honest, and somebody accused him of something, he couldn't take it. Came from a very disciplined family, somebody said anything, something to him, and some philosophical problem he had, he just left the temple. He said, I'm not going to stay here. And within 6 months he was on his way to touring all the holy places. He went to Badrinath, the entire bus came into cliff. You know, almost 30 people died. And we tried looking for him, you know, for many years, devotees were looking, but we couldn't find. They couldn't find the body also. When you don't have the body, how will you perform the sanskaras? The Shastra said, no, still you can perform the sanskara. That living entity will get the benefit. You invoke the body of that person who is dead in a grass. You know, you create a toy or a figure made of a grass and invoke and give final rights to that, and equally that living entity will get the facility. So Shastra are very flexible, very pragmatic in application. But we become very attached to practicing or following the exact method, and that causes conflict. Krishna said, there is many ways. He said, how should I kill? See, Arjuna was still thinking about killing his brother. So Krishna said, don't worry. How do you kill your brother? He said, all this time you always respected your brother. You never used any word which was disrespectful. Krishna taught Sanskrit grammar to Arjuna, which we can't translate in English, you know, because it doesn't work. In Hindi we can say aap or tu. Now when you say aap, it's very respectful. When you say tu, it is very disrespectful. So Arjuna always addressed his brother in a respectful way. Krishna said, you address him. So Arjuna started, tu to tha, tere karan aisa hua. You know, because of you we had to lose. Because of you, you had to go to the forest for 14 years. Because of you, this happened. Because of you, that happened. We went through a lot of difficulties in our life. Arjuna went on, you know, saying bad things about Yudhishthira Maharaj. So when you say like that, it is as good as killing. When Arjuna said, then he realized, my God, what did I do? And he took the sword to kill himself now. So Krishna said, just see, Arjun, you are so eager to kill your brother, now you can't even take insulting your brother, you want to kill yourself. Can you imagine what you are supposed to do? What you are about to do? How do you survive by doing this to your brother? You could have finished. Now you are not able to handle disrespecting your brother, you want to kill yourself. He said, murder is good, but suicide is worst. So Arjuna said, then how do I overcome this problem of blaspheming my brother? So Krishna said, very easy. There is also a solution. How do you kill yourself? He said, self-glory. When you glorify yourself, that is worse than committing suicide. He said, glorify yourself. Just see how Krishna was there. He was the greatest mediator for both the Pandavas. So then Arjuna starts glorifying himself. The power of self-glory is so You know, amazing, it is explained, if you have the limitless piety, if you have acquired unlimited piety, like Indra has got many means, many ways to bring down people. Sometimes he sends apsaras, sometimes he steals horse, sometimes he takes away something else. No, there was this king, Yayati. And Yayati acquired much greater piety than Indra. And Indra felt, I might lose my position. So they asked Yayati, what is the extent of your piety? Yayati should have kept quiet. He should have not spoken. What Yayati did, he started speaking about the pious activity of himself. And just because he spoke about his piety, he came down to the earthly planet. That is the power of self-glory. It destroys. So Arjuna spoke about his glories. So he did the both. He murdered his brother and repentance. He killed himself by self-glory. Then seeing that Yudhishthira Maharaj actually felt very repentful. Said, my God, actually whatever Arjuna said is true. I caused them so much of trouble. He said, I'm going out now. Again, sannyas. Vairaj. I'm going out. I don't want to stay here. Arjuna, Yudhishthira Maharaj was so repentful. You know, my brother never said anything to me. And it's all true. Krishna grabbed him. He said, wait a minute. You don't run away. So Krishna pacified both of them. And when Yudhishthira Maharaj blessed. Huh, before that, Krishna told Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, you know why your brother said all that? Was he really meant? Whatever he said about throwing your Gandiva, aborting you when you are 5 months old in your mother's womb. Why did he say that? He said, only to provoke your Kshatriya spirit. It is not that he was blaspheming you, that you are a Kshatriya. What Kshatriya requires is being provoked so that the valor increases. But you took it very personally. So therefore, how whenever there is a conflict, the very simple principle, of course, which we don't apply, because ego comes in the middle. What is it? We have to go for someone, some coach. Like we see, when there is a conflict between the opinion given by Srila Prabhupada only, we are not fighting for anything outside. Sometimes people fight in regards to what Prabhupada is saying. Then we can't solve the problem because we are the problem creator. We need to go to someone who is the representative of Krishna, take their shelter and hear from them, then it can be solved. Right. So Arjuna and Yudhishthira Maharaj were willing to put their, you know, ego at the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and get convinced. And they went ahead with their life. Otherwise, even what people say, unless we know, I read one very beautiful story. I was telling it to our school children. One father received a letter from his son, who was an illiterate, father was an illiterate. He never went to school. So his son was studying in a hostel. The letter came to the father and father took this letter to a butcher. And when the butcher read the letter, the butcher read the letter in his style. Butcher is a butcher. Because he's always killing the animal, you know, the voice is harsh, the tone is not very respectful. So the letter he read to the father, you know, as if demanding. He said, I need money, okay, please send the money as early as possible. So when the father read, you know, he heard from this butcher, so along with the words came the feeling. The mood of the butcher. And therefore the father was so upset, he said, what does he think himself? He is demanding money from me, I am not going to send even one paisa to him. Let him, you know, suffer. So he was very angry, holding this letter and he was walking briskly to his home. And right there he met a school teacher, who was a language teacher. Language teachers are very good in teaching language. He said, what happened? You look to be very upset. I said, can you see my son is writing all this letter, he wants money, all the time he asks for money. He doesn't know the, you know, he doesn't ever work hard and he's simply asking money. So he said, give me the letter. So the teacher read the letter. And the way teacher read the letter was, my dear father, please, you know, I am in great difficulty. When I need money, And father almost had a tear. Said, I'm going to send the money immediately. Therefore, it is not the words. What we read, the best conflict takes place when there is an email exchange. Because we don't get to see the feelings of people. We have all powerful communication. Within 3 minutes, your letter reaches. My letter comes responsive immediately. The letters are being exchanged. I don't know what surrounding that person is writing. He doesn't know what surrounding I have. What we only see is the words. And the words cause so much of challenging situation, so much of difficulty. And that conflict becomes so strong, and that causes conflict amongst those who are watching this. And what do they say? Even devotees fight. If devotees fight, then material world is better. At least they are united. This is the worst conclusion. Then we are going to take shelter of those people who are like Duryodhan. Very united. They don't fight. So the first principle one has to understand that one cannot avoid conflict when we live in a community. It is not possible to avoid conflict. It cannot be possible to avoid difference of opinion. And just because there are different opinions, it doesn't mean that we quit. You know, withdraw. I don't want to take part. The beauty of the Pandavas is that even though they had extreme degree of difference of opinion in their character, you know, in their behavior, but they were all working together, keeping Krishna in the center. And at the end of the day, what happened? Even though there were such a difference of opinion, because they worked together, eventually Krishna established them as the king. That is the beauty of Mahabharata. That is the beauty of the Pandavas. It will never happen. It's very easy if there is a dictator. And in Krishna consciousness, there is no dictator. In Krishna consciousness, you know, we are not connected by the government. Government is not controlling us. And in fact, the government is very happy. When the religionist people fight, they're very happy. Okay, now they're fighting, let them fight. So that they don't influence our regular society. When devotees fight amongst each other, you know, one of our devotees was telling, Dayarampur was telling, sometimes we see, you know, the Vaishnavas are fighting, and who is giving the judgment? Amalecha is giving the judgment. He becomes the judgment giver for devotees. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada were very extremely cautious that one should not go and take shelter of the non-devotees to resolve the conflict. Conflict will be there, but the withdrawal should not be there. If the withdrawal takes place, then nobody progresses. So in Shastra, therefore, our Shastra, our Bhagavatam, very clear, they present the story as it is. Brihaspati has fight with Chandra. When we come to 9th canto of the Bhagavatam, when you read, my God, how is it possible the demigods are having this difficulty? If this is a problem with the demigods, what about us? And therefore the story is there. If the demigods can fight, how much more we can fight? Therefore don't conflict. The stories are there to Prabhupada explain. These stories are there so that we have to be so cautious and careful. And what is the solution for this? The solution is that when we work, we try to work, it's easier to disunite people. No, you hear from someone and go and repeat. Sometime one may speak about somebody. This happens since, you know, we are living in a community with 3,000 devotees, and we have experience seen. Sometime one devotee may say about another devotee. Not because, again, it is not a historical reality. It's a perceptional reality. You know, this devotee did this to me, and I was so upset. And one who hears that, he goes and tells, you know, Prabhuji, aapke baare mein bol raha tha. And that devotee goes, hey, did you say like that? So what this middleman did, rather than sympathizing with what he was going through, he just wanted to share his heart. Not that he wanted to go and tell other party. But we do the damage of telling other party. And there, relationship becomes more sore. So rather than becoming a mediator, you know, I become responsible for increasing conflict. Therefore, in the Ramayana, it is explained that one should act like Hanumanji. What is the role of Hanumanji? The role of Hanumanji is not breaking people, he is uniting people. All the time, he is struggling to bring people together. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that in Krishna consciousness, we should be representing Hanumanji. What was Hanumanji's goal? Hanumanji's goal was to unite Goddess of Fortune with Narayan. Wanted to bring them together. That was his responsibility. He united Sita and Ram. He united Bharat and Ram. He united Sugriv and Ram. He united Lakshman and Ram. All the time Hanumanji was struggling to bring people together. So therefore, when we take that role, it's a difficult role. But if we take that role, it's very pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why there is a conflict? We see again in the Varnashram, you know, in the Varnashram system, the principle of unity is based upon people playing different roles. There are different roles for everybody. It is explained that everybody wants to be somebody, but nobody wants to grow. And I say, there are four things. One is the facilitator, one is the helper, one is the doer, and one is the financer. We need all these four categories of people. In family life also, one of the biggest difficulties in the Vedic system, there was a clear goal played by different personalities. A father would play the role of being the doer, and mother would play the role of being the helper. Without helper, doer is not a doer. He cannot function. If you see in the traditional family, you know, amongst the brahmacharis, I will share, when we join the ashram, in our ashram there are about more than 40 to 60 brahmacharis. They come from the family of only son, not even sisters. You know, some devotees have sister. And sometime in the bathroom when we would clean our clothes, you know, that time we would discuss. If there is a choice, who should go first, whether father or mother? And without any disagreement, almost all the brahmacharis, because, you know, it was worrisome. They were nice people, you know, they joined Krishna consciousness movement with the intention of sacrificing and rendering service with the mood of preaching. Like when Gaurang Prabhu joined, he was the only son. Of course, the sister is there. Only son, well educated. So whenever his parents came to Bombay, they never met any devotees. Their only interest was meeting their son and knowing why did he join. Was it that we did not take care of you nicely? They were very concerned. And eventually, they became very friendly. And then I went to their home to visit in Bhilai. And we were having very good time. And mother was telling me, you know, we were not worried because, you know, he wanted to do this. We were worried, you know, he must have joined a wrong organization. He must be doing something wrong. It may cause, you know, some kind of difficulty in his life. Once we realized, and they took it really well. Father, recently his father passed away, but in a very glorious way. No. And then, recently his mother was telling, very interesting. I always share this. For very such a, you know, they never took any relationship seminar, conflict resolution. They stayed together for almost 49 years as husband and wife. And the mother would not cook. His mother would not cook after her father, you know, her husband left his body. And Gaurangpur asked, why you don't cook? He said, for last 49 years I never cut vegetable. It was only done by your father. He knew sometime he would cut, and he was an engineer working for Vilai plants. He said, for 49 years, I have no habit of cutting vegetables. He would cut, I would cook. He would cut, I would cook. He was the doer, but he was willing to take the help of helper of the helper. Very interesting. It's an eye-opener. That someone who is a doer, but is willing to take the role of helper. Right. I just lost it now. Where did I begin with? Yeah. After that, we discuss something.
Brahmachari
discussing. Yeah, right. Yeah, so in the ashram, when we are washing the clothes, and then most of the brahmacharis would say, if anybody has to go first from this world, better father should go, not the mother. You may wonder why, you know, the men are cruel to their father. And some other Krishna arranged with many brahmacharis that their fathers left first and the mother survived. He said, why? Very interesting psychology, that a boss is a boss because he has a das to take care. She does everything for the husband. But when the wife leaves, the man becomes helpless. You know, he becomes invalid. And whenever this happened to some family where they were functioning very nicely, why they were functioning very nicely? Not because of their expertise, because there was someone who was assisting them very nicely. And they experienced that, you know, how the assistant was coming when they actually started missing. And they become invalid. They become so helpless. And sometimes seeing their helplessness, you know, I'm sharing, one brahmacharya was telling me when his mother left, his father was almost like 65 years old. And the relatives said, oh no, why don't you remarry? In India, it doesn't happen. The son said, daddy, if you ever do that, you'll never see my face. So because it is not that he wanted to marry, but he became so invalid and helpless. But when the father dies and mother survives, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. But when the father dies, the woman always lived as a helper, you know, she continues to remain self-sufficient. A very interesting phenomena. So therefore in the Vedic system, it was a very clear role played. Yes, the helper's role may not be glorified so much, but without the helper's role, the doer is useless, is invalid. But in Kali Yuga, what happens? That unfortunately, we give prominence to the doer's role. Everybody wants to be the doer. Even when wives work, they are taking the role of the doer. And then they also have to take the role of worker also. When they have to do double role, doer and worker, and if the man doesn't become subjugator for some times, he only remains doer, then two doers when they come together, and what does it do? It creates a blazing fire. So just see how Varnashram system is so scientific. It is brilliant. If you study carefully, therefore, amongst the Brahmanas, there is no loyalty to an organization. There is no loyalty to the system. There is a loyalty to their intelligence. If anything does not fit their intelligence, they just say, okay, I'm going from here. So loyalty is not the quality of a Brahmana. They can move from one kingdom to another kingdom. We saw some of the scientists, you know, when their research was not supported in Germany, they moved to America because there was greater facility. What their interest is, not about country, that my research work should be facilitated because I have the knowledge. And Prabhupada explains about the Kshatriyas also. In the Kurukshetra battle, when Yuyutsava, Yudhishthira Maharaj played a fantastic card to create weakness in the heart of Kaurava army. Right in the middle of the army, before the war started, he stood up. And I said, anybody wants to change the side, those who are in my side, they can go to that side, and those who are on that side, they can come to this side. And suddenly, in the presence of everyone, Yudhisthira came with his army to Pandava side. And Draupadi says, you know, what is their interest? Their interest is to fight for someone. They fight for someone because they are Kshatriyas. Their loyalty is to fight. Of course, once they fight on your side, they will fight till last breath. Now, Shalya came to join the Pandava army. Very clear goal. When he came there, Shalya was the uncle of the Pandavas. Naturally expected that he will join the Pandavas, but somebody treated him nicely. Duryodhan treated him nicely. He didn't have the intelligence also to think, okay, no, I cannot join. He anyway joined the Kurus. He told, because he treated me very nicely, I came to join you. I asked whatever benediction you want, you take from me. And Duryodhan told, you fight for me. So I am fighting for you. Okay? You take the blessing. So Kshatriyas also don't have the loyalty. They are the doers. And the Vaishyas, again Draupadi explains, he said when the king would attack another kingdom, the farmers would be working in the field, you know, taking care of the cows. The king would touch, he would not touch the farmer. He would not do any harm to the farmer. The farmer would say, what does it matter who will rule? After all, whoever rules, I have to give 1/6 of my share to him. So they were not interested in who is ruling, because whoever would rule, they would take good care of farmers. Like I met one devotee in Punjab, in Amritsar. And they do business. I said, where is your business? He said, our business in Pakistan. He said, Prabhuji, Hamara the flourishing business hai. I go to Lahore, I go to Karachi. And he's a warrior class. But he has a business. He said, wherever we can make business, we have to make business. Wherever there is facilities to make money, we have to make money. You can't call them, you know, they're traitors. That they are simply following their Varna Dharma. But the quality of loyalty of Shudra is unbeatable. Because he's a helper, that a Shudra, Shastra explains that service attitude of a Shudra for how many generations? Generation after generation. We have one devotee, their wife is a doctor and husband is a businessman. And this their servant, one who is staying in their home, is about 70 years old. And they introduced me, he said, Prabhuji, he is there when he was 10 years old. Last 60 years he is serving in our family. He took care of my grandfather. He took care of my father. He took care of all our children. Now he's taking care of my daughter also. 4 generations he served them. Like a family member only. I went to another place in Hampi. This is the birthplace of Hanumanji. Beautiful place. And there was a nice family, the Jain families, the devotees, and their servant. You know, their servant is, they have a lot of servants. So their servant, he is working with them, his father worked with them, his grandfather worked with them, and his father arranged the marriage of the grandfather, the father and the son. Loyalty. If you go to this huge, big religious Marwadi and Gujarati family in India, they have servants working for ages. They never think of becoming boss. They never think of, you know, I want to be the owner of this company. Seldom they do it. And they are happy serving. Now one may say, come on, there is no progress. From a material point of view, they are there where they are. But because of that consistency, there is a harmony. But the mundane world will see that as an exploitation. But it is not exploitation. You can't avoid this principle of worker class, the doer class, the facilitator class, and the financier. You cannot avoid that. They need to exist all the time. When they don't exist and there is a conflict on this 4 principle, then what does it do? It creates big trouble. Like in Jagannath Puri, if you go, You know, how our temples are managed, what we see, what we hear from the media is, you know, all chaos is going on. I remember I was in Udupi, this was many years back, Jayadeva Maharaj was also there for Paryag. It was a huge festival where the sannyasi, you know, one of the prominent sannyasi was supposed to do puja for 2 years. They have the system of every 2 years, the sannyasi changes and he worships the deity and rest of the sannyasis travel all around India preaching. Well, the prominent sannyasi, he was supposed to do his puja. So he invited all the devotees. So he went there. And the politicians were also there. The sannyasis were also there. And one sannyasi spoke. He told the politician, the chief minister was sitting, the central minister was sitting. One sannyasi said, look, you also wear khadi and we also wear khadi. We also have the, you know, khadi cloth and you also have the khadi cloth. But the difference is, he said, Paryaya means they have a seat. He said, in 800 years of history, he said, there was no fight in regards to who will sit on the chair. He said, we roll every 2 years. How it happens is that a sannyasi is going out, he brings another sannyasi, holds his hand and gives the keys of all the treasury and makes him sit there to serve. And he was saying, when you sit, somebody else comes and pulls you out of the chair. So minister was, you know, putting his head down. Why? Because everybody wants to be the doer. In 60 years of India's history, how many chief ministers came? And most of their time was spent on protecting the chair rather than doing some development to the society. He said, see the difference. Why that is possible? Because the center is not me sitting on the chair. The center is that me being used for serving Vishnu. And if you go to Jagannath temple, very interesting. Hundreds of years, there are families, their seva, what do? Ages. Their seva is that one family priest, their seva is to bring bhoga. And there is one family, you know, generations after generations, their seva is to hold a stick in their hand and chase the crows and the dogs, so that they should not see the bhoga. And they can't say that, you know, I want to do this seva. Generation after generation, they are doing the same thing. And there is some family, their seva is only to stitch all the flags, all the clothes for Lord Jagannath, and somebody else will do some other seva. And nothing is written. There is no software to manage this. What is the software? The software is the culture that somebody has to help. Somebody has to do this. But when someone brings the classless society, like in one place in India, I was talking to the priest. This is in Pandharpur, I can share. We went to see Darshan of the Lord Vittal early morning. And the pujari, when they offer aarti, they do dressing. And then the darshan starts. Thousands of people come. And you see, sometimes the pujari grab you right at the altar. And they say, give me some money. And looks little, you know, strange that a sadhu or a pujari is standing right in front of the Lord and forcing people to give money. And because we had a special facility, after the ceremony was over, I talked to some pujaris. I said, why did you do like this? You know, that spoils the mood. When people come here, they don't appreciate. He said, you know what? He said, for me to worship this Lord, there is a bid. They have to bid with the government. Depending upon whoever gives maximum money, the government takes 75,000 rupees. If you want to do puja today, for next 3 days, they have to pay that much of money. And if he has paid that much of money, where will he get that money from? The government doesn't pay any salary. So he said, where will I take that money from? So I have to force people to give that money. And if I don't collect, and many times it happens that we don't get to collect. And we become more passionate to collect our money back. We hardly make any money. Therefore, the doer, the financier, the government is supposed to be the financier. And what do? They don't finance. They make their own money, and therefore there is such a conflict. They want them to show that how anybody in the priestly class, Jagannath Temple, the same thing. When we go, people, you know, the Pandas, the priests, they are chasing and they are asking money. And if you ask, why do you do this? No, I usually ask them, first give them some money, befriend them, and then talk to them, why do you do like this? He said, what can you do? He said, you get meager salary. And how will you run our family? And then because they can't remain priests because there is no financier, they have to take the role of the doer, they have to take the role of the helper, they have to take the role of the financier. So when you play a conflicting role, not everybody can become an all-rounder. Kapil Dev was one all-rounder in India, right? You can only be the bowler, you can only be the batsman, but not everybody can be the all-rounder. Now Prabhupada did it. You know, he could manage Krishna consciousness, he financed Krishna consciousness, he facilitated Krishna consciousness. He was the doer, he was the helper, he was the cook, he was the cleaner, he was the plate cleaner. Everything he did. But not all of them try to do it. When they try to play a conflicting role, or there is a role which we want to choose because that role has a greater, you know, glory, then what happens? That creates great conflict. Therefore, in our Vedic literature, we find that our beautifully, scientifically created. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted Varnashram Dharma to be established in a very systematic way. Now, Varnashram Dharma is not reintroducing caste system. Varnashram Dharma is what? That to create a class, create a department where, like in London, there is a devotee, Jeev Doya Prabhu. Jivapati Prabhu, his Prabhupada disciple. And since he joined Manor Temple, what is his seva? He's in the background, you know, cleaning all the pots. He's all the time cleaning the pots for many years. Kulangana Mataji, you know, she is doing her sweet making for many years. They never come in the forefront. It's easier to be advisor. When you don't know anything else to do or you don't want to do, become guru, consultant, you know, give people all the advice. But in Vedic system, when we have all these four principles, and that's what we see in the Mahabharata, and that's what we see in the Ramayana also. And then even though there is a conflict, and especially Krishna Balaram, if you study their character, when Krishna came along with Balaram, because Balaramji was decided as Lakshman, in Ram Lila, I am not going to become Krishna's younger brother. It was easier for Lakshman to coordinate with Ram because he did not keep his mind. He sold his mind to Ram. He sold his heart to Ram. So whatever Ram would say, he would do. But in Krishna Lila, Balaramji, who was Lakshman in Ram Lila, said, I am not going to follow. I am going to go exactly opposite of whatever Krishna says. I will not follow him. Therefore, I will become an older brother. And Balaramji became older brother. And if you study, it's so interesting in Krishna Lila that Balaramji at one point of time decided to marry, you know, arrange the marriage of his sister Subhadra with Duryodhan. No. He's a personification of Kali and nobody could stop. Vasudev, Devaki, even Krishna could not stop. He was very clear. He said, now, very interestingly, in the Mahabharata, you never find the name of Duryodhana's wife. You know, Vasudeva saved her, you know, her character. Oh, she didn't want to be identified as Duryodhana's wife. So there is no name of Duryodhana's wife. Nowhere in the Mahabharata it is mentioned. That was the character of Duryodhana. And Balaramji is so, you know, in slang language, hell-bent upon arranging the marriage of Subhadra with Duryodhan, nobody could stop. So when Arjuna comes to Raivattaka Parvat, very beautifully explained in the Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, he had gone for pilgrim. You know, he had broken some promise, therefore he was sent out. Arjuna went himself. When he came down, eventually he came to Raivat, he met Krishna, and there he saw Subhadra. When he saw Subhadra, you know, he was very much fascinated by her. You got attracted to her and Krishna saw that. And Arjuna saw that Krishna is seeing, therefore he confessed. He said, my dear Lord, I want to marry Subhadra. Krishna said, very good. So, what should I do? He said, you arrange the Swayamvar. He said, I can arrange the Swayamvar, but what is the guarantee that Subhadra will put a garland to you? There is no guarantee she will do it. So Arjuna said, what is the solution? He said, you kidnap her. Arjuna didn't know, in kidnapping Draupadi, in Subhadra, there is also the factor of Balramji is involved, which Krishna did not reveal to Arjuna. So Arjuna said, how do I kidnap her? Now Krishna gives another solution. He said, you become a sannyasi. You become a sannyasi and come to Dwarka, perform your Chaturmas. And Arjuna said, are you sure? He said, I should take sannyas dress to kidnap somebody else. So Krishna, when Krishna tells Arjuna to follow, just see how Krishna is using sannyas, you know, which is the life of renunciation for getting Arjuna married. So Arjuna became a sannyasi. And when someone acts as a sannyasi, he looks better than a sannyasi. Arjuna looked really a sannyasi. So when he looked real sannyasi, when he stayed there, did his chaturmas, and Balramji wanted to host him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that after the chaturmas is over, a sannyasi can visit different people's homes. So Balramji invited. He said, why don't you come to my home for prasad? So Arjuna came. So Arjuna was staying in their home. And Balramji was organizing everything, you know. Somebody should take care of Arjun. So he chose Subhadra to take care. Krishna said, are you sure? You know, Subhadra is a young girl and you want this young girl to take care of this very beautiful sannyasi. No, no, it's very pure. You know, since it's very pure, and then Shastra explains, if there is no pure Brahmana to take care, then young virgin girl should take care of a sannyasi, because she is the personification of purity and innocence. So Balramji was right in choosing. But Krishna put that doubt. Are you sure? He said, no, no, nothing will happen. So Subhadra is taking care of Arjuna. And she doesn't know what's happening. Arjuna knows and Krishna knows. Balramji and Subhadra doesn't know anything. And other young girl, she's asking Arjuna, which place did you travel? What did you see? You are a sannyasi, you travel all over the world. Arjuna said, I went to this place, I went to that place. Arjuna explains everything. Then she asks, which is your favorite place? Children ask, oh, my favorite place is Hastinapur. Oh, Hastinapur. Where in Hastinapur? He says, the palace of the Pandavas. Oh, you have met the Pandavas? Yes, of course, I meet the Pandavas regularly. And who is the favorite among the Pandavas? He said, Arjuna is the best. So then, Arjuna is making sure that if there is, you know, he has to make Subhadra get attached to Arjuna. And Arjuna, Subhadra doesn't know that is Arjuna. And eventually, because she heard from Arjuna, you know, her mind was also very fixed in Arjuna. When Arjuna realized the time is up now, so Arjuna took her. He kidnapped. So when Balramji got to know, this was not a sannyasi, this was Arjuna, he was furious. He took his mace, he took his, you know, his club. No, and then he went to attack Arjuna. I said, today I'm going to destroy everybody. Krishna fell at the feet of Balramji. Just see. Opposite view. But how did Krishna resolve? First, Krishna fell at the feet of Balramji. He said, after all, you know, I don't think it's a kidnap case. I think it's a running away case. So then Balramji saw everywhere, hey, it doesn't look like a kidnap case. So Balramji was pacified, because Krishna fell at the feet of Balramji and he made him very clear. So Balramji is like Shiva only. Easily gets angry and easily gets pacified. Not only that, during the peacemaking, when the discussion was going on before Krishna went to Hastinapur as a peacemaker, everybody was in harmony in regards to their decision about the ill behavior of the Kurus. So when the time came for Balram to present, if you study, Balramji presented exactly opposite. It looked like as if he was representing the Kurus. He chastised Bhim, he chastised Yudhishthira Maharaj. That shows how to prove, this is the pastime for us to learn, Balramji took exactly opposite view of Krishna, but never went against Krishna. Never went against Krishna. He said, I know Krishna, you may not take part in the battlefield, but you are always favoring the Pandava. So where is the question, where is the chance for the Kurus? Balramji came to see the match between Duryodhana and Bhima. And who was his favorite disciple? Duryodhana was his favorite disciple. Just see here, the Supreme Lord has a conflict with the original Guru. The Guru's role is to bring everybody to Krishna, but here the original Guru in Lila has a conflict. But still, what do? They stand supporting each other. You know, Balramji is putting his hands on the shoulders of Krishna. And you don't see, you know, there is a conflict. They are the most charming personality. So therefore, when we understand this principle through Krishna's Leela, through practical aspect of Varnashram, which is harmonizing everything in regards to how to serve Krishna. And when we do it, it is so brilliant. At the end of the day, when we are going back to Krishna's world, and when we go back to Krishna's world also, you can't say, now there is no more argument. When you go to the spiritual world also, Prabhupada explains, the rivalry continues. Depends upon which camp you will join. There is Chandravali's camp and there is Radharani's camp. And they are continuously in loggerheads. But that conflict does not create tension. Rather, that conflict creates unlimited juice, unlimited rasa. Therefore, bhakti, one who understands it properly, is full of contradictory flavors. But then all that flavors are harmonized in service of Krishna, the conflict remains, but the conflict takes a different role. So therefore, if we can deal with this, knowing very well, the greatest principle, the greatest austerity for us, is not that we will not have difference of opinion. Even if there is a difference of opinion, if we can harmonize and continue to serve Krishna, and at the end of the day we say, yes, we want to serve, you know, with different flavors and offer all that flavor to Krishna, we become very pleasing in the eyes of Guru and Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions or comments? Yes, Madhupati. Different opinion than what I presented.
No, not different opinion. In fact, I was thinking of asking you the situation and somehow it came in the seminar. About Balramji's role, his original guru. How the original spiritual master can take a role of supporting personified
scholars. Yeah, I asked this question to one senior Vaishnava. The question is, how can original personality, the servitor Godhead, Balramji is the original guru, how can he take side of personification of Kali Duryodhana? And a beautiful example is that when there is a conflicting flavor coming together, limbu juice. In lemon juice, some devotees don't like adding salt in the lemon juice. But in India, if you want to taste lemon juice, along with the sugar comes salt also. We used to eat crackjack biscuit in our childhood. What is it? It's a combined taste of sweetness and salty. So that mixed flavor enhances the rasa. So if you study, Prabhupada explained, he wrote this to Satsarup Maharaj, he said, every scripture has its particular mood. Satsuru Maharaj asked question about Ramayana. He said, there's a particular mood. He said, devotee should never tamper with the mood of different scriptures. He said, when I get time, I will write Ramayana also and present the mood of Ramayana. Present the mood of Bhagavatam. Present the mood of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, When you overlap, try to intermix moods of the scripture, that destroys the taste. Now, Ramayana is Adarsha Parayan. Bhagavat is Prem Parayan. Chaitanya Charitamrita is Kshama Parayan. And Mahabharata is, you know, it's all confusion parayan. You know, how to reconcile all confusion. So therefore, in Kali, in Dwapar Yuga is what? Dwapar Yuga means Dwapara. That exactly opposite views. Exactly opposite views. So what Krishna does, bringing Balramji in his pastime, allows Balramji, Balramji consciously plays the opposite views to enhance the mellows of rasa. It is not about, you know, he is consciously or he's taking the side of. But even though they take side exactly opposite views, Balramji actually went, this is spoken in the Harivamsha, where did Duryodhan learn mace fight from? Which place? He learned from Balramji, no, but when? Which time? We said when Balramji, when Krishna was accused of stealing the Shamantaka jewel. It was all over that, you know, Krishna is stolen, Krishna is stolen, Krishna is stolen. That time many Yadavas were very much affected by this. They said, how could Krishna do? So therefore they went away from Dwarka. And Balramji also went away. He went to Prabhasa Kshetra. And in Prabhasa Kshetra, Duryodhan got to know, Krishna is not with Balramji. Balramji is not with. So let Krishna go to Pandavas and I'll capture Balramji. So he came to learn from Balramji and Balramji taught also. So what I learned, even though there is a conflicting views, you don't find Balramji going against Krishna. He never fights. He said, I'm not going to fight with you. When Krishna, when Bhima killed Duryodhan, striking on his thighs. No, Balramji came to attack Bhima. He came to attack. And Krishna came in the middle. Once Krishna comes in the middle, then Balramji, even though he's an older brother, he said, I know, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with you, but at the same time, I don't go against you. So they are showing that example, you know, very beautifully. And from a pastime's point of view, it is so sweet to see Balramji conflicting with Krishna, but still they are standing together. That charming, you know, Krishna Balramji, when we see on the altar of Vrindavan, and when we study through these principles of Krishna is on one side, Balramji, even in Vrindavan, when Yashoda told, you know, why you are eating dirt, Krishna said, I never ate. No, your brother said, he's always against me. He always wants to say bad about me. So that is filled with flavor of contradictory, you know, understanding between two brothers. But that simply, we can learn from that. There is a conflict in Krishna Balram also, but they are not disunited. They are united in the purpose of giving us the taste of Bhakti Ras. That is what the principle is. Yes.
When you were making the contrast between how devotees get along or don't get along, and how sense gratifiers, they never fight, I was struck because we normally hear just the opposite about sense gratifiers. That because everybody has selfish interests, that creates conflict. But you were saying the opposite, so.
Yeah, as long as the resources are, their interest, their purpose is the same. They don't differ in regards to enjoying senses. You know? Once the resources are limited and, you know, then who will get it? Like all the demigods and demons came together for the cause of churning. And in one sense, as the demigods were united in churning, the demons were also united. Yes. Ultimately, when there is lack of resources, then the demigods fight. In Ravana's Lanka, Ramayana explains, there was not even one person who was disloyal to Ravana. Extreme degree of loyalty was there, honesty was there. No one could get into Lanka and no one could come out of Lanka. So he created that honesty in his country by being dishonest everywhere else. So the materialistic goal, you know, to create limitless resources in your own place so that people don't fight. Getting the point? But when you take away the resources, when there is a limited resources and four people are fighting for one thing. Like in India, one student was telling me, he said, Prabhuji, such a struggle for existence. There is so much of, like, you can tell devotees, you know, one should be very courteous, kind. You can tell that in the temple, but once they come to the train station, local train, you can't follow this principle because you'll stay there rest of your life. You know? Why? Because when the train comes, it's a struggle for existence. You have to push yourself. So what they do, they create that facility. Once the facility is there, they don't fight. If the facility is not there, they fight. Am I getting the point? It is not that they'll never fight. And if they fight so much. When Karna and Shalya, you know, when he saw that, you know, Arjuna has such a great chariot driver as Krishna, so Karna thought, you know, I need to get somebody like that. He was so obsessed with having whatever Arjuna has. He told Duryodhana, get me a best chariot driver. He said, who? He said, Shalya is the best. He is as good as Krishna. But Shalya would never become the chariot driver of Karna because he thought that I am Kshatriya and he's a carpenter. Son of a carpenter. How can I be his son? So what did they do? Duryodhana was so diplomatic. He glorified Shalya as if he is better than Krishna. So he glorified, he was successful in convincing Shalya. Shalya agreed. But the problem was, both had such big ego. Shalya said, he cannot dictate terms to me. When I am driving, whenever I feel, whatever I think, I will speak out. And if he feels offended, that is not my problem. So then, when they started, and Karna is boasting, hey, who is Krishna, where is Arjuna, anybody tells about them, I'll give them reward. As if Arjuna and Krishna are criminals, you know, hiding somewhere else. So then Shalya begins, he said, you rascal, you are talking about being so powerful. They'll come to you, you face them straight. The fight begins. And it never stops. They are, you know, Karna talks about Shalya's community where he belonged to. You know, from your village, people are like this only. They are all, you know, rotten people. They don't follow any Vedic literature. All the people are drinking wine, having all kinds of illicit activities. You come from that kingdom, Shalya. What do you know about culture? And Shalya gives him back. And when Karna's chariot, his wheel got stuck. Now, if you have a chauffeur, in India, people can afford chauffeurs. So when your vehicle gets stuck, the chauffeur can't say, boss, I'm only driving. It's your job to go and repair the wheel. So when the wheel got stuck, it was the duty of the chariot driver to go down and do it, as Krishna did for Arjuna when Arjuna's horses got tired. Shalya said, I'm not going down. You go down and repair it. So there is such a discord and there is no central point only. Central point is their false ego. So it was a massive disaster in choosing Shalya as the chariot driver. So naturally, yes, in the ultimate sense, I said the observation of devotees, they feel, oh, see how at least they are united. We make such observations sometimes when we see, when we experience fight among the devotees, we say, oh, at least they are united. As you said, no, they are not united. When you stay with them, when the ego is in clash, then they fight like anything. But when they were against the Pandavas, they were extremely united. We don't know what would happen if Duryodhana would become the king. Now they are united in being nasty to the Pandavas. They were all united in having sense gratification. You're right that their unity is there compared to devotees, you know. But when they are alone on their own, we are saying that their unity or their unicity, both are bogus. I'm not glorifying their unity. And I'm not saying, you know, non-unity of devotees is bad. It is part of life. Whether we are having conflict or no conflict, we have no other choice other than to continue to serve Krishna. We can't afford to become non-devotee. We can't afford to have unity without a purpose. That is the point. So either way you take, oh, they are united, or you take whether they are not united, depending on from what perspective you see, it is no big deal. Their unity and their disunity doesn't add value to anybody's life. The unity of the non-devotees doesn't add value to the life because they are all suffering. And their non-unity simply causes more trouble. But devotees' unity adds more value, gives a good example. If they're disunited, the preaching mission becomes, you know, stops from the progress. So that's what we have to avoid. Yes? How long? 5 more minutes. The question is, even after Gita, how Krishna has to continue giving instruction, like the story between Yudhishthira and Arjuna. Now that is a very interesting point. We never become finished with our education. We always remain student and we always face situation. Therefore we always need the Vedic system. We were discussing yesterday is a circular system, it is not a linear system. You know, you pass from one level to another level. You always remain in that level, and from there, depending upon whom are you dealing with, you play a different role. You may play the role of a teacher, but you also play the role of a student. If you think I'll only play the role of the teacher and don't play the role of a student, then that is very dangerous. One devotee, when he had a difficulty in his spiritual life, I think Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would tell this. He went to meet him, tried to counsel him. And he told Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, my problem is, I have only given advice to people, never heard any advice. So he knew that I cannot take advice from anybody. He said, my life has been to be a guru, to be a leader. So I always gave advice, always gave lecture, I never heard lecture. So now you are coming and telling me it's not going to work because I'm not going to take it. So he preferred being weak in his spiritual life than rectifying. So that is not right. So therefore Arjuna, somebody asked Prabhupada, what is this Arjuna after hearing Gita? Again he was crying for his son, Abhimanyu. You can see from two perspectives. One is yes, however much you hear, when you actually go through that situation, you know, again you need. And then again the instructions are given to Arjuna. So many stories are told. Narad Muni comes and tells them to pacify them. You need a fresh education. Or another principle is Prabhupada said, no, he said, affection is affection. Just because you hear philosophy, not that you get rid of affection. So to be affectionate to his son, a dead son, is but natural. Therefore, continuous education till our last breath. Our role as a student is a permanent. Our role as a das is a permanent role. Our role as a teacher, our role as a president, our role as husband, our role as a wife, our role as a father. It is all circumstantial role which we need to play rightly. But they are not a permanent role. If our role is, you know, imbalance between the role of servant and somebody else, if you dislodge the servant role to any other role, then that leads to difficulty. So that is the point. So therefore we need continuous. Somebody said, you know, why chant after 35 years also still we struggle? Somebody asked this question to one priest. You know, what is the point of listening to lecture all the time? Again we do the same thing. One stewardess, she heard this. Somebody make that objection. What is the point in listening? She told him, do you take bath every day? He said, of course. Dirt comes every day? He said, of course. Why take bath then if the dirt is coming? No, dirt will come. The reason we take bath is because we want to take away the dirt. So similarly, as long as we are connected to this material world, the contamination will remain. And therefore, to remove that contamination, we need to take bath every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You can't say, I heard 10 years back, for 10 years, I stopped hearing. No, the dirt will accumulate. Therefore, continual instruction. That is the philosophy of Vedic literature. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you for reconciling all these contradictory things in scriptures that we read. Very beautifully you read in scriptures.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So let's give a big round of applause to his great. Hopefully next year when he comes, he will spend more time with us here in Tawako. Okay, good. Tomorrow, Govind Prabhu is going to continue this topic in Central New Jersey, starting at 3:30. I think there will be two sessions. So again, this is in Central New Jersey Temple, starting at 3:30. So next session will start at 6 o'clock. It will be by His Grace Gaurang Prabhu. So you have an hour, so please feel, refresh yourself. Also, we need some help in the kitchen to make some puris and other things. So if more number of yogis can go down, so you can finish it in the next 45 minutes. Thank you. Thank you.